This evening, God's Word comes to us from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6. We'll be reading the first 9 verses of this chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's Word. Now, this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, Lord willing, next Sunday evening, we are going to begin a new series in our evening services, a series of sermons on the life of Elijah. I've been kind of putting off beginning that series until our Dort students were back, didn't want to start something just a couple weeks before they got here. And so next Sunday evening, Lord willing, we'll return to our regular practice of looking through a particular part of God's Word in a more comprehensive fashion. Before doing that, tonight we look once again to instruction from God and thinking about the beginning of the school year, both on the grade school and high school and college level. I thought it would be important for us to reflect once again upon the importance of training our children in the fear of the Lord. Now, I hope that while this sermon is directed toward perhaps parents of those in the school age years, it is applicable to children as well. Your obligation to learn in the fear of the Lord, and for you college students to continue your education. That's why you've come to a Christian college, to be instructed in the fear of the Lord. We look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, a chapter which contains one of the oldest creeds of the church. We confess a creed every Lord's Day evening. Tonight we confess the Apostles' Creed together. There are other creeds that predate the Apostles' Creed, creeds found for us in Scripture. And one of those creeds is in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, where it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." That was a fundamental confession, a fundamental creed of the people of Israel. That creed is called the Shema, not any particular reason why it's called that, other than that's the first word of this verse. Hear, O Israel, Shema Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And looking at this basic statement of faith, it gives us direction into what it is we should be teaching our children, what it is we should be learning as children. There are so many things to teach our children. We teach them how to talk. We teach them how to walk. We teach them how to ride a bicycle. We teach them how to make their bed. All kinds of good, important lessons for them to learn. But we must never forget the most fundamental teaching, to teach them about God, about who He is, and about His claim and rule on our lives. So this evening we look at teaching our children. And we begin by noticing that God is at the center of what is taught. This fundamental confession, this basic creed, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." There is only one God. Now, this particular phrase, maybe you've got a footnote. It's translated various different ways. It's a very cryptic phrase. Sometimes translated, "The Lord our God, the Lord is one." Sometimes translated, "The Lord our God is one, the Lord alone. He is the only God." Remember, Israel was coming out of a time of captivity in Egypt. And Egypt was polytheistic. They had many gods. There were gods of the hills. There were gods of the plains. There were gods of the sun. There were gods of the moon. There were gods for everything. And Israel had been in that polytheistic area for 400 years. And they had to be reminded of this basic confession: the Lord our God, the Lord is one. There is one God. There are not many. It is that same fundamental truth that we must confess and pass on to our children as well. Because we live in a context of polytheism. Oh, perhaps not gods through the hills and the valleys and the sun and the moon. But nevertheless, all kinds of idols around us. Idols within us. The idol of self. The belief that my happiness, my enjoyment is of primary importance over everything else. The idols of entertainment or pleasure, looking around us trying to gather all the fun that we can. The idols of sports. All kinds of things pulling our hearts in different directions. And in that polytheistic context, we remind ourselves, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. There is one God. One who deserves our devotion. One who deserves our allegiance. We must pass this truth on to our children. We must confess this truth ourselves. Because until we realize that there is but one God and that He has a claim on our life, none of the rest of this will make any sense at all. We recognize this is the God who has always been the God of His people, the God who loves His people and cares for them, who loved them so much that throughout the course of history, He prepared for the coming of His Son, that one who would come and pay the price for our sins. If you have not acknowledged that yet, that's the beginning of our education. Of acknowledging that God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, saves His people. Our children have to hear that. That they are in need of a Savior. That they must love the Lord their God with heart and soul and mind and strength. That they may not assume that simply because they're brought up in a Christian home, that they have no obligation to God. The Lord our God is one. The Lord alone. We are to follow this one God. Moses says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." Loving Him completely. It's more than just acknowledging Him as the one God alone. But then living for Him as the one God alone. Following in the path of love. Following in the way of obedience. Our love is demonstrated by an obedience to the law of God. Now, many times I think we think of the law as a fence that keeps us from having fun. Oh, there are so many things we would like to do, but the law of God gets in the way. It's like a fence that keeps us from enjoying ourselves. The law of God is a fence, but not a fence that keeps us from having fun. It is a fence that keeps us safe. It is a fence that keeps us free to live in the ways God intends. I don't remember exactly who I was listening to, some motivational speaker tape at some time in the past, and there was a phrase he used that, although he filled it with humanistic content, I thought that its content from a biblical perspective was very true. He said, "Freedom is greatest where the boundaries are clearly defined." Freedom is greatest where the boundaries are clearly defined. The law sets up clear boundaries for us. Then we stay inside of that. We are completely free. Completely free to live in the way God has intended, the way He has instructed. It's when we try to transgress the boundaries that we get into trouble. We used to, many years ago, have fish in our house. We had a fish tank with fish. I don't know, one summer we thought it would be fun to get fish. And so each of us got a fish. I got a fish and named him Machen, after the great theologian J. Gresham Machen. And each of us had these fish, you know, swimming in the tank. We watched the fish. And can you imagine, children, you know, if my fish could think, if he said, "You know, I'm really bound by these glass walls of the aquarium. That's really a boundary for me. If only I could escape these walls, this boundary, I could truly be free." And imagine one day that somehow Machen managed to get outside the walls and was lying there on the shelf next to the aquarium, free of the restraints. That freedom beyond the boundary would mean his death. The law of God is a safe haven for us. It tells us how far we can go and no farther. When we love God and love His law and walk in His ways, we experience true freedom, true joy, true blessing. Why would we try to escape that? Why would we feel bound by that? It is within the law that we find the deepest meaning in our life. That must be taught to our children too. A lesson all of us have to continue to learn, that it is when operating within the bounds God has set that we have peace, that we have joy, that we have true contentment, and that we are safe to live in the way God has called us to. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And then he says, "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children." In passing along these wonderful truths about God, God alone, and the blessing of living within His law, we want these truths to be on our children's hearts, on our hearts, not simply a matter of external conformity. Remember, where was the law written in chapter 5, the chapter right before this? Well, that's the giving of the law on tablets of stone. And God says, I don't want the law just on tablets of stone out there. This law is to be internalized. It is to be written upon your hearts. Of course, to do that, we must pray that God write the law in our heart. We are too cold and stubborn to do it ourselves. The story from Psalm 78 again and again recounts the hardness of the fathers' hearts. God gave them all these blessings, but they hardened their hearts again. A reminder of our weakness, our frailty. When we hear about loving God with all of our heart, these commands being on our heart, then our prayer must be, "God, change my heart. Make my heart compliant. Make my heart willing to follow after your law, to live in a way that is pleasing to you. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Moses uses an interesting choice of words here when he says, teach them diligently. The word is rooted in the word for to sharpen or to pierce, like a knife gets inside of something because the knife is sharpened. We must sharpen our children, pierce them with the Word of God. Some of you know I used to be in the restaurant business many years ago, and chefs are very particular about their knives. Chefs are very particular about the sharpness of their knives. And it's not uncommon to go and talk to the chef, and if he's not doing anything else, he'll be standing there with a steel in one hand and a knife in another, sharpening, sharpening, sharpening. He is always sharpening his knife. Almost unconsciously, you can talk to him for 10 minutes or for a half an hour, and he just keeps sharpening and sharpening and sharpening, because the knife has to be sharp to do the work it's supposed to do. Moses says, our children must be continually sharpened. The Word of God must pierce their hearts, that they may be able to live in the way God calls them to. Teaching our children again and again and again, that their hearts might be changed. And notice what he says, you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall teach them diligently to your children. We must never forget that this internal operation of piercing our children with the Word of God, of sharpening them on God's Word, is the responsibility of parents. You shall teach your children. Now, there are helps that we can use in the training of our children. In just a few weeks, we're going to start our church education year. There will be Sunday school and catechism classes offered for children and for parents. These are helps to help us as parents train our children. I look forward to my catechism class this coming year. I always enjoy teaching catechism to our children. It's a wonderful privilege and blessing for me. And as much as I love it, I remind myself I'm only there to help the parents. I get our kids for about 45 minutes on a Sunday morning after church. And as much as I love them and would like to pierce them with the Word of God, I simply am not capable to do that in that time. It is your responsibility, it is your obligation as parents to take that tool of catechetical or Sunday school instruction and fit that into your method of training your children. Some of us choose to homeschool so we can train our children. Some of us choose to use Christian day school to train our children. And as much of a fan as I am of Christian education, being the son of a Christian school teacher, that is only a tool to help parents. It is our responsibility as parents to train our children. God gives us helps. He gives us tools. But we may never give that responsibility over to someone else and say, well, I sent them off to this school, so my hands are clean of my responsibility. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Our obligation as parents to teach our children. Why? So that they can teach their children. Beautiful picture that Moses gives us here. That you may fear the Lord your God, you and your sons and your sons' sons. This picture of an ongoing multi-generational education process. That we train our children using the tools and gifts God has given to us, that they might train their children. And God's blessing continues generation after generation after generation. That their hearts be changed. That these words be on their hearts. That they be sharpened, pierced by the Word of God. That is our obligation as parents. To pray that God use the frailty of our efforts for His honor and glory. To touch the hearts of our kids. Well, how is this done? And Moses tells us it's done in an ongoing process. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit at your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. He gives us in this first section here, verses 7 and 8, four infinitive verbs. The idea is this is an ongoing, regular process that continues to take place. It's not a one-time thing. It's an ongoing thing. You will train your children when you sit in your house. In formal times of training. In formal times together around the Word of God. You know, back in the old days, it was so common and so normal for at every mealtime, either before or after the meal, for a father or mother to open the Word of God and read from God's Word and talk about what that Word means and then pray together as a family. That's when you sit at home. Formal times of instruction together. Now, I know our lives get so busy. Busy with the various activities that pull us all different ways. But it's important for us to carve out time when we sit at home to teach these things to our children. And if we might miss a day or two of our regular family devotions, and as we talked about last week, God has given us the Lord's Day. A day set aside for things just like that. Formal times of instruction. Reading God's Word together, praying as a family, being instructed by God Himself that our hearts might be changed. You will talk about these things when you sit in your house. And, he says, when you walk by the way. This has the idea not so much of formal instruction, but of informal instruction. Finding yourself suddenly recognizing the glory of God in creation around you. I know some of you went on vacation this past summer, going to various parts of the country, and we look and we see God's glory and God's beauty. We remind ourselves, God made that. He is the Creator. We see the mountains and we tell our children, God made those. How beautiful they are. Maybe we're riding through the Midwest and a thunderstorm comes up and afterward the sun comes out and we see that rainbow in the sky. We don't simply talk about the physics of a rainbow, how the light refracts. We say, that's a reminder from God that He promises never to destroy His world with a flood. Informal times. Times when we see God's power and glory around us and share that with our children. We will not hide it from them. We will pass it to the next generation. We'll talk about these things when you lie down and when you rise. And we've talked before about how certain phrases mean not just when you lie down and when you rise, but every time in between. Throughout the day, morning to evening, we are responsible for this ongoing process of training our children. He says in verse 8, "You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes." Now, in the history of the Jewish people, they began to take that verse very, very literally. And they would bind little portions of the Word of God. They would bind them on their arms. They would bind them in front of their eyes. And while that's the heart of it was good, it became simply an external exercise once again, rather than embracing the word with the works of our hands. Bind these as a sign on your hand, in the things you're going to do, in the actions you undertake, in the way you relate to those around you, in the way that we as parents relate to our children, teaching them these glorious truths, in the way that we as children receive this instruction from our parents, in the way we as brothers and sisters get along with each other. Bind these truths of God as a sign on your hands and the things that you do. As students at home or in the classroom with our classmates or our roommates, that they live with us throughout every part of our life. Bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as a frontlet between your eyes. They shall be that through which we view the world around us, the decisions that we're called to make. How many choices we have to make every day and every week, and what guides and directs that? Moses says it is directed by a vision of God and His glory and of walking in His ways. It's our call to pass that along to our children. How do we make the decisions that we make? Do we keep God and His glory and His kingdom in the forefront of our minds? Or is it the last thing that we think about? He says, you will bind these as a sign on your hand. They will be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. It is to be the character of the Christian home, that we continue to teach about God and His Word to our children. They shall be written on your doorposts. They shall be on your gates. Your house will be characterized as that which seeks to learn more and more about God and His ways. Again, God gives us helps in that. We come to church. We worship together. We hear God's Word preached. But this can't be the end. In the week to come, we have to look together at the Word of God, that it is the characteristic of our house to look into God's Word as a family and be instructed from Him. Because His Word is powerful and effective to change our hearts. When we get stubborn, we get obstinate, the Word of God has a way of piercing through that stubbornness. But if we never read it, the tool of the Spirit stays closed to us. No, God calls us to characterize our homes as those where His Word is written on the doorpost of our houses. It's a huge responsibility to train our children in the fear of the Lord. It's a huge obligation and a huge privilege, because God has chosen through the instrument of parents to pass along the truths of the Christian faith. The truths about who God is, there is one God, God alone. The truths about His Son, Jesus Christ. He sent one Savior, only one, no other, to save us from our sins. And the truths about our obligation. Knowing what He has done, knowing that we have been washed and cleansed by the power of the Spirit, we now are called to be students of His Word, binding it on our hands, between our eyes, and on the doorposts of our house. Oh, may God give us the grace to be those who live by His holy word and to pass that truth to our children. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we thank You for Your word, a word that comes to us at times with very challenging things. What a daunting task it is to raise children in the fear of the Lord. And so we confess our weakness and our frailty. And we ask, O God, that You might bless the work of our hands, that You might bless our children, that their hearts might be turned toward You at an early age, that they might recognize their need to embrace with love their Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord God, help us as parents not to grow weary not to give up this responsibility. But continually, may we find our strength in you and in your word. Help us, O God, to walk in this way of obedience. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.